You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
So my name's Craig Smalley. I've been the dean here for the past 3 years. I've been at the Advent for 20 years now. February will actually be 20 years that I've been here, wonderfully, thankfully, in numerous capacities here at the Advent. And so clearly, It's a place I love. I really am grateful for. I'm grateful for the Advent. Growing up, my dad was what I called the corporate army. And so about every 3 years, we'd move to a new place. And so when people ask me where I'm from, it always sounded a little evasive. It's kind of like, well, a number of different places that I lived growing up, and. I'm married. My wife Paula and I have three grown children. One is in accounting and finance. One is in the medical world. One is a sixth grade science teacher and cheer coach. We're recent grandparents. We have a seven month old grandson, and wonderfully, thankfully, all of our crew is here in Birmingham now. So. Better than we could have hoped for. And I've been here for 20 years at the Advent. I love this place. It's a delightfully flawed community of faith, and that's one of the things I love about it. There's a great quote from William Faulkner, and he was asked one time about his native Mississippi. And what he said, you know, despite the legacy of intolerance and injustice left by slavery, he said, it's my home. It's my native land, and I love it. He said, you know, one doesn't love because one loves despite, not for the virtues, but despite the faults. And I love the Advent for its virtues and for its faults. And it's just, again, it's a community of faith that has been a blessing for me. And the reason behind that is its focus on and the centrality of the gospel. And, you know, gospel is one of those church words, religious words, theological words that we use that, of course, has, you know, the question is, so what do you mean by the gospel? And what I mean by the gospel is what we wonderfully heard in Luke 15 today, and in Dean's sermon, if you're in the 9 o'clock in the nave, and I'm sure at the 9 o'clock refectory service as well, was not in there, but it's the loving pursuit of God who came into the world to save sinners. The recognition, something happened to me a number of years ago, and again, I had all these great scriptures I was going to share with you, but we're audibling right now. So this was a time, maybe it was about 4 years ago, and I was with the vestry, and the vestry are the elected leadership within the congregation. We have 30 vestry members, and it was the vestry retreat, and I'm up in front, and I'm sharing with them, and of course, I'm supposed to be inspiring in that particular moment, in that context. We had been through a lot of transition and some difficulty in the life of the congregation, and so you feel, you know, the gospel is a proclamation of what God has done. It's something that's received. It's not something, again, we merit. It's not something we earn. It's the gracious pursuit of God who comes, his longing to restore us. There's Hosea 11. If any of y'all have read the prophet Hosea, he is a salty prophet, and he has a lot to say about the people of Israel. None of it favorable. He's just hammering them left and right. And, you know, in many ways, you know, the human condition, it's unpleasant, but the people probably kind of like, yeah, fair. So he's hammering it. But there's a moment, and this is, you know, if you ask what my favorite scripture is, you know, it's kind of like it's always changing, right? Well, you know, I like this one. But Hosea 11, I was thinking about a number of different ones, but Hosea 11, he's been hammering the people, declaring God's judgment on them. And again, fair, right. But then he breaks into this. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. The more they were called, the more they went away. I mean, doesn't that sound like the human condition? The more I called, the more they went away. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning offerings to idols. Our human propensity to, and the wonderful words, instead of God to chase after lovers less wild, you know, the idolatry of the human heart, we're always trying to put something or some person or some accomplishment or whatever it might be in the place of God. And if I get this, you know, then I'll be secure. Or I want a God who's more manageable, that I can shape, that I can fashion, that if I put this in, I get this out of it. You know, they're running off, they're sacrificing the Baals and burning offering to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. And if you think about if you've seen a parent with a child, or if you've been a parent with a child, you know, when they're, it's like that back-breaking time where you're constantly sort of like this, and you're either have your arms under their arms and you're holding them as they're standing up, as they're taking their first steps, or you've got, you know, the two fingers out and they've got, you know, your fingers as they're, but this imagery of God who says, you know what, this is, these are my children. The more that I call to them, the more they run away. And they have this propensity to chase after false gods who are going to leave them broken and bankrupt and empty. And this this profound love and compassion that comes forth. And so part of the message of God's grace, part of the message of the gospel is a God who lovingly, graciously pursues us. And the hope and the certainty and the security we have, again, is not in human performance. It's finding our rest in the grace of God, which is not only most fully revealed in Jesus, in his life and in his ministry. In his John 10, Jesus is talking about himself and talking about God. I'm the good shepherd and I know my sheep, not generically, specifically. I know them, I call them by name, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This is Jesus's foreshadowing of the cross. He says, no one takes it from me. It's not an accident that God suddenly has to redeem. This is the plan from the outset. I willingly lay down my life. I have this authority, and I lay it down, and I take it up again. And he goes on to say, no one and nothing can snatch the sheep out of my hand. I and the Father are one. At the message of the gospel, at the heart of the message of the gospel, is a God who, despite our performance, loves us and pursues us and seeks us and lays down his life on our behalf. He takes it up again, that you and I can have a security that comes not from our performance, but from God's intent, from the outset. No one and nothing can snatch the sheep out of my hand, Jesus says. I and the Father are one. And this beautiful piece from Hosea, I taught Ephraim to walk. I took him up by the arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of kindness, with the bands of love, and I became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws. I bent down to them, and I fed them. And he goes on, and he says, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I give you up? You know, God should say, you know what, you want to wreck your life. But that's not the word which is spoken in the gospel. God says, how can I give you up? A God who pursues us. My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my burning anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst. I will not come in wrath. And you know, the human condition is such, you know, I like selective wrath, right? I like to direct it towards certain people, you know, or just hope God does, you know, exactly. But then the recognition of the gospel is, you know, that same wrath would fall upon me. And so the Advent, as I say, it's a beautiful, wonderful, flawed place. And we prayerfully, by God's grace and not any particular expertise on our own, make our stand, and in everything we do, in every ministry and all the interactions, we hope that message of a God who pursues, who's come into the world, John 6, Jesus feeds the 5,000, there's leftover. And then after that, Jesus says, gather up all the leftover fragments, gather up all the broken pieces that nothing might be lost. And it's my belief that at the heart of the gospel, at the heart of our ministry here at the Advent, is the recognition that we all fall into that. And regardless of how we appear externally, we all fall into that category of being broken and fragmented in one way or another, internally, in relationships. Just fragmentation has come into the world through the fall, through sin. Fragmentation is there. But at the heart of God, it says, you know what? When Jesus says, gather up all the leftover fragments, gather up all the broken pieces that nothing might be lost, I think undeniably what's being spoken there is not bread, it's you, and it's me. And so my hope, my prayer is at the heart of the gospel, God is mending, gathering, restoring us both individually and collectively as his community. And it's the hope and prayer that that message of the gospel is in everything that we do here.
And we want your stories.
You need a story? Well, I just didn't know. I didn't know if I was cleared for a story, not cleared for a story. Well, I'm not preaching, so I mean, as long as, I'll share a story for me. A moment when the penny dropped by way of the gospel, and this is a silly story, but I've got a lot of them, because God's grace has been very necessary in my life. And I'm fortunate to have been a recipient of unmerited love and grace and mercy in numerous times, but my high school performance was not the best, and so I sort of self-selected, and I went to a military college. This was my sort of penance. I went to the Citadel, which is in Charleston, South Carolina, and again, I didn't go there out of love. Even as an 18-year-old knucklehead, I'm just like, I'm a hot mess. And if I go to South Carolina, I'm going to be home in a semester, and so I'm going to go to the Citadel. I'm going to learn some discipline. I'm going to shore my life up. It didn't work. But that was my intent at the time. I performed so well my freshman year, I was invited to summer school. The one great thing about summer school is you got to live off campus. And so I wasn't in the barracks. I was just like, freedom. This is amazing. Like, this is how real people are living. Went with some buddies on a road trip. Long story short, I crashed my car and somehow managed to limp it back. I don't know how we limped it back from Florida, we went down to see some friends. We limped it back to Charleston, like the wheel was at an angle, like we're driving through the night, A1A, with like one drooping headlight, and, you know, we somehow got it back. And I just tucked it away down this alley in Charleston, just off of King Street. Mom and Dad came to visit, we showed them our apartment, which was not as big as this room. So it's just kind of like, and then my dad's like, you know, son, where's your car? Here's the moment. And I'd been avoiding Dad. Not surprisingly, I needed to tell Dad, but every day I thought, you know what, Dad's got a lot on him. Tomorrow's a better day. I'm going to tell Dad. Tomorrow is when I'm going to tell Dad. I was riding my bike. I was riding the bus to get to school. I mean, this is the level of avoidance in my life. And interestingly, something happened in that moment. There was a break in the relationship between my dad. Not necessarily to his knowledge, not something that he caused, but I was hiding from him. You know, I didn't want to face him. I was hiding from him. I was afraid what was going to happen. So he said, son, where's your car? The moment I'd been avoiding. And so we walked down this little alley. We walked down this little alley, and it was tucked behind this building. It was so bad. And, you know, the worst part, of course, is you're walking and just like, you got nothing. It's not like, well, you see, Dad, a deer ran out or something. You know, there was no, I had nothing. Like, guilty, guilty, guilty. And I just braced myself for what rightly would have been a strong conversation about personal responsibility and, you know, the cost of things and so forth and so on. And Dad died a few years ago. So many great memories, and so grateful for a loving, flawed father. But I have so many great memories. But it's funny, this is one of the One of the best. There are a lot of these, but this is one of them. And I remember he looked at the car and he looked at me, and again, I braced myself, and he just shook his head. He's just like, son, you know, why didn't you tell me about this sooner? I could have done something about this. And that, you know, I wouldn't have articulated that in the moment, but that's the gospel. I mean, that was one of those moments where the penny dropped. I mean, again, deserved judgment and received mercy. But this is something, as time went on, I recognized as well, that mercy came at a cost to my dad. You know, that he could have easily, again, dropped the hammer rightfully, but it came at a cost. Instead of, you know, the talk on responsibility, what I received was mercy, but also it came at a cost. I couldn't fix that situation financially. Dad was the one who had to pay for it. Dad was the one who had to clean it up. Dad was the one. And again, the message, our restoration, our life, our salvation, the mercy comes at a cost, and God is happy to absorb the cost himself. And again, that's why the message of the gospel is free. It's not something we deserve. It's something which is given to us free. And I'll say this, finally, and Dad obviously gave me, you know, conversations on responsibility and so forth and so on, but that moment changed my life in a way that all the, you know, very true talks never did. And so that's why I also hear, hopefully, that message of the gospel is at the center, because that's what saves us. That's what changes us. That's what that changes our actions more than all the conversations about what we should be doing. It's receiving love and grace and mercy we don't merit. And that's why the gospel is our only hope, and the gospel is our only stand, and the gospel guides and directs what we do here as a community of faith. As I go to the 11, let me just say, hey, if ever y'all want, I'd love to catch up, just have a conversation, have a coffee, have a lunch, whatever, me or any of the other crew. People always say, oh, you're busy. We'd rather be with y'all. So would love to visit. So thank you. I'm sorry to hustle out, and thank you for being here today. Thank you. I'd love to. Heavenly Father, thank you that you're a good shepherd. Thank you for all the people here. What an incredible gift, and love and speak to all of us, and draw us, most gracious God, to the rest which is found in you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.